Hey!
Hi!
It's the Pop Culture Man Children Show! That's Pop Culture Man Child Emilio Sparks.
That is Pop Culture Man Child Mike Buongiorno.
How are you today, Emilio?
I'm good, Michael. How are you?
Very good.
What is this today? We have a special mini episode
today. Well, you were out on assignment.
Yes, I was.
So I did a mini episode without you.
Wowzers.
But, you know, here we are doing a nice intro with
you. It's like I'm here just to make sure that I'm here.
Yeah. Well, you know.
So technically, I'm still part of
contractually, you have to be in every episode.
Yeah,
so
I do.
Your lawyer made me do this.
Yeah.
No, this is Cosplay 101. I interviewed Manda the Martian. Who you can find her on Instagram is Manda_the_Martian. She's
okay.
A cosplayer. And we talked all about cosplay.
Great.
And the role of women in fandom. And it was an awesome conversation.
What stands out from the conversation? Sell it to me right now.
There are some stereotypes of cosplayers and, you know, their sort of like maturity level and stuff like that. And Manda really showed me that a lot of that is kind of nonsense. She's a professional, very intellectual person who then also has this amazing craft and is very caring and giving to the community and, you know, likes taking pictures with kids and really doesn't like having neckbeards come mansplain pop culture to her, which happens to female cosplayers a lot, apparently.
Ugh.
Yeah.
This poor girl, what she has to endure.
Yeah.
So, okay, so give us something that we could take away from this that you didn't know that now you know and you're like, wow, this is awesome. I have a newfound respect for cosplay even more now.
The thing that I took away from it emotionally was that because I asked her about, because I have body dysmorphia like many people. I don't love my body. And I asked her, I've always wanted to cosplay and I never have. And she sort of inspired me and said, you know,
you don't need to be in cape shape.
You don't. You don't need go out and be that other thing, and that there's power and you'll feel free being that other thing. Go ahead. If you want to go out and be fucking Drax, go and be Drax.
You should.
Drax is the one I feel like I could do because I'm meaty. And if I just make the arms a little bit more sculpted, I could be Drax.
How about I don't even think you need to even sculpt the arms even more.
You think I'm ready to be Drax right now?
I think you're ready to be Drax.
I got the bald head.
So why don't you do it?
Okay. All right, let's get into it. Manda the Martian.
And you can follow her on Instagram. How?
Manda_the_Martian.
This is PCMC starring Emilio Sparks, Mike Buongiorno, talking to Manda the Martian.
Yes.
We must all get ready now.
Up and Adam! Adam!
Do you want me to call you by your real name or by your Instagram handle?
Instagram is better. I think it's easier for people to find me.
Manda the Martian?
Yes.
There are underscores in there, right?
Yes.
What is it? Manda underscore?
The underscore and then Martian.
Yes. How did we meet?
You were my communications professor.
Yeah, how was it? Was it good?
It was good. Except you yelled at me my first day.
I did?
Yeah. Don't ever come late to my class.
Really? I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to
do that.
I think you were kidding.
Usually on the first day, I like to yell at somebody just to just set a tone. So I wanted to talk to you because you're a cosplayer.
Yes.
And I'm not, but I have a sort of cosplay jealousy.
A jealousy? I know. You got excited when you found out.
When did you start cosplaying?
I started making costumes and doing costumes probably like 2010, but I didn't start doing like photo shoots and group costumes and stuff until like 13 or 14.
8 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
What was the first like costume you did?
I did Misty from Pokemon at New York Comic Con in 2010.
What inspired you to do that?
She was always my favorite. She's, like, her attitude, she's always, like, mean and grumpy, but then she could be really cute, kind of like a Sour Patch Kid, which is kind of like how I describe myself, like, first sour and then sweet.
Okay. What do you got something coming up. You got a con coming up, right?
Katsu Con.
And what are you going to do for that?
A lot of different things. I probably have 7 costumes lined up for the 4 days of the convention.
Oh, my God. So you're just going to be, like, constantly changing?
A lot of changing, yeah.
I'm going to be ignorant about this because I don't know a lot about cosplay. So a real cosplayer, you build all your stuff, right? That's a part of it?
That's kind of a myth, I would say.
Oh, okay.
Is...
See, this is exactly what I want. I want to know what the myths are.
The whole point of the cosplay community is just to have fun and dress up and be somebody else. There are people who commission costumes from other cosplayers who are very talented, and they'll make something from you from scratch. There are major companies that buy and mass produce different costumes. You can buy those also. And that doesn't make you any less of a cosplayer, as long as you're really out there for the right reasons, because there are a lot of people that will think that they can dress in these costumes and automatically become famous and have all these people want to buy them stuff. And that would probably be the wrong reason to do it.
So there are people who do it because they think they'll be famous, or they'll be Instagram famous, or they'll get...
Well, I would like to say within the last, like, 5 or 6 years, the whole pop culture scene has exploded.
Yeah.
And it's become a really big thing, and... it's now popular to be into these fandoms, and there are many, like, models and upstream people that already have male popularity that are now keying into this fandom to gain money, to gain more fans, to gain people that are willing to do anything for them.
Because I think you're right in terms of fandom, which used to be, like, a very, like, you know, you used to be... in, like, these little sort of communities, and now it's sort of everyone binges, everyone is, you know, into pop culture, and it's all sort of so much bigger. Have you seen any changes like that?
Definitely. Like, I can give you my first example. My first New York Comic Con, I was in the city with friends, heard about it that day, walked in the door, bought a ticket, and went. Now you have to sign up for a fan verification just to qualify to order tickets. Then you have to get your special email to find out the day that they're on sale, and then you pretty much have to wait in a million-hour waiting queues just to be able to buy a ticket.
Yeah, now you have to, like... give them your firstborn child and a vat of your blood. It's crazy.
It gets crazy, but there are a lot of smaller conventions that, I'm not going to lie, I do happen to enjoy better.
Are they more fun than the big, huge ones?
It all depends on what you're going for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people want to go to meet the AA list celebrities. And mm-hmm. if that's exactly what you want, you're going to go to a big con, you're going to go to a New York Comic Con, you're going to go to...
If you want to see, like, trailers for things that are coming out.
If you want to see trailers for things and all that other stuff. If you want to meet artists and you want to get your book signed and you want to do tiny meet and greets, you're probably better off going to a smaller comic trade show than a big pop culture convention.
Do you have more fun at those?
Some of them, yes. Especially when you're doing... costumes that are meaningful, like a couple of years ago, I want to say maybe 2 years ago, I did a Stargirl costume with a group of friends. We did all characters from the Starman series, which is created by James Robinson, and he was doing a panel at the con. So being able to meet the person who created the character, dressed up as the thing
in your head,
exactly, and seeing him and seeing him be proud of it, it makes it more worth it. So it depends on why you want to go.
You could get closer to people like that, right? At smaller
conventions.
Yeah. What is the job of it? Like, you said you're going to a con soon and you're going to be like 7 different things over 4 days. It's more than like just like a craft or a hobby, right? It's a whole community. Yeah.
Every con will put up a page, and then you'll have the sub-pages, which will have each individual group will host a meetup. Like, you'll have a meetup for Naruto, or you'll have a meetup for Sailor Moon, or a meetup for Star Wars. And you can search through the meetups, and it'll give you the times and the places that this specific group of people are meeting up, which gives you an opportunity to find people that like the same things that you like, that are dressed the same as you. You can get pictures together, you can talk about things that you like, and you pretty much determine your lineup for a convention depending on the meetups and the people that you want to see.
Have you made, like, good friends from cons?
Definitely. I have a whole group of people that I would say, inside and outside of cosplay, I would talk to them on a regular basis about regular problems. And then you have your regular friends that you just see when you're there.
Right. Is there any character or cosplay that is sort of in your head as like that would be the ultimate thing, but it'll take 1,000 hours for me to get it together and maybe a lot of money.
There are a lot of crazy armor builds and stuff that I want to do. Mm-hmm. The main one, which is actually the only Wonder Woman I would ever do, is the full armored Flashpoint Wonder Woman from the comic, not from the Flashpoint Paradox cartoon.
Okay.
It's a full body armored gold suit. It's really awesome.
How do you build like armor?
They're made from a whole bunch of different things. You can make out of EVA foam. You can make out of Warblow, which is like a meltable thermal plastic. You can use Bondo, which is used in car parts.
So it's almost like you're making a movie. I mean, like, there's real, like...
There are actually, I know, some very talented people that do make film movie quality props that look one-to-one with the film.
Really?
Yes. I'm not that talented, but I have many talented friends.
But I've seen a lot of stuff you do on your Instagram, which I find impressive. We were talking before, and you said you wanted to do Sabine from Rebels.
Yes.
But that's armor, too.
That is armor. Actually, I could show you if you give me a second. I have a helmet that I started.
Oh, look. It's the beginnings of a Mandalorian helmet. What is this?
Well,
just
right now, this is a basic helmet base. You can take this base helmet and you can turn it into a fighter pilot. You can turn it into pretty much anything. It
has Magneto. How'd you learn to do this?
This is a basic pattern. You can get it. This one is from, I believe, Evil Ted. He has a YouTube channel and he's very helpful at making things. And he'll show you actually the step-by-step process. And he'll tell you what materials you need to use and what the price range is for certain projects.
When you make something, is it like the kind of thing where you're like, okay, I'm going to get like one or two cons out of this and then I'm going to have to repair it? Or can you make it where it's like, this is like your actual superhero? Like, this is it and I've made it and now I've always got it.
It really depends on the time and the money that you have to put in something.
Yeah.
If you're going to make something really quick, it's not going to last. But if you're going to make something really useful, like the belt for my Huntress, my boyfriend helped me make that. We made it probably in like 2 days, but we followed very specific instructions, made it very sturdy. We put the thing together once, and I've probably worn it to like 2 separate photo shoots in 3 different conventions, and it's still solid.
And it's still, yeah. What will this helmet be that you've started?
This is the start of the Great Saiyaman and Great Saiyaman 2 from Dragon Ball Z.
You're the kind of cosplayer that you do like deep cuts, because that's sort of a fan cred thing too, to be like, yeah, like not everyone's gonna exactly know who I am right away. This is like a deep cut.
It's a matter of personal preference. Like, I enjoy doing the obscure characters. Like, we've argued about it in class a million times. I'm a huge DC fan. That's my thing.
Right.
So I like a lot of the really old school DC characters. Like, I've done Fire from Fire and Light Ice.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also very similar to Polaris from X-Men, so you get mistaken a lot.
Right.
But
now, do you correct people?
Sometimes. It depends. Obviously, you're never going to correct a child. If a child is going to call you something and they're excited to see you, you're going to smile, you're going to take a picture with the little kid, and you're going to be on.
Do you act in character, like with a kid?
Always.
How does that, like, feel when, you know, you're dressed up and, like, a little kid sees you and they look, like, super happy? Like, it must be, like, amazing.
Yeah, it gets really exciting. Like, I remember when I was in Huntress of all characters, which is why I was really surprised, because a lot of kids don't really like Huntress or really know who she is. But there was this little boy who wanted to find her so badly. And I was the only one at the con at Huntress, so his mom came to take me to see him, and then we walked around for a little while to find a Batman to take pictures, and it was really cute.
Is that like a part of it, or is that just a part of it for some people? Like, if I'm going to be doing a photo shoot or whatever, and there's going to be kids, I'm going to be in character.
There are some people that prefer not to be around kids because they don't like to be in character, but they will try to keep the fantasy for the little ones if they have to.
Yeah.
It's kind of like one of those things where you're looking at a sad puppy and you can't say no.
Aw.
Like, if you're at a con and you don't really feel like being Cinderella and your dress is Cinderella and a little girl's like, ooh, you're going to be Cinderella no matter what.
Of course. That's like, you know Tom Baker? He was the 4th Doctor Who.
Yes.
He was like the most famous one with the big scarf. He like said that after he was Doctor Who, like for the rest of his life, whenever he, like, kids would come up to him, he'd be like, guess what? I'm not really an actor. I'm Doctor Who. And they would love it. And I just think that's, if I was in that situation, I would totally do that.
Of course.
That's the coolest thing ever.
And I think that's also part of how certain people pick their costumes, because they'll definitely, if they're not really in the mood to see a child, you're not going to dress in Cinderella. You're going to dress in something a child wouldn't know or recognize right away.
Yeah. Kids can be issues. Do kids, like, grab at you and, like... like, uh-oh, this kid looks too excited to see me. He's going to grab my wand or something.
It definitely happens. It happens with kids. It happens with adults. I'm not even going to lie. An issue with cosplaying is if you're in the community and you go to a lot of cons, you kind of know the right rapport on how to approach somebody, how to ask for a photo.
Yeah.
And what to do and what not to do. But then if you go to, like, a huge convention like New York Comic Con, where there's so many people and it's their first con and they see things and they want to touch everything.
Right, right.
And it becomes an issue.
Well, there's a saying, cosplay is not consent.
Yes,
cosplay. Is that what that means?
That is part of what that means. A lot of people think that cosplay is not consent has to do with sexual harassment, and it definitely is a huge part of it. But it also pretty much means cosplay is not consent to anything. If you're in cosplay and you're sitting down and you're eating food,
yeah,
don't take a picture. If you're in the middle of taking a picture with another photographer or in the middle of a photo shoot, don't sneak up in front and try to take a picture. Don't approach people when you see they feel uncomfortable. If you want to take a picture with somebody, don't necessarily mean you can grab them and hug them.
Yeah.
If you're dressed up as the Joker at a convention and you see a Harley Quinn, just because you're a couple in comics doesn't mean you can walk up to every Harley you see and grab at her.
Right. Does that happen to you? Because I remember when I first met you, you said that you do Harley a lot.
And
you have a bunch of
Harley
different kinds, right?
Yeah, I have a couple of different Harleys. And it's happened sometimes, but usually people that you go with will watch out for you. You have enough people that will make sure nothing bad happens. And there's a couple people you have to explain. And a lot of them are like, oh, I didn't realize it. And they'll apologize and go on their way. And then some of them will be a little bit nastier, but it'll eventually leave.
Some Jokers could be creepy.
Oh, of course.
Like, what's his name? Jared Leto. Apparently, like, when he was making that movie, he was like an asshole to people, and he was like, no, I'm just being a method actor. Like, he mailed a dead rat to somebody.
Well, I feel like that's a big issue in Hollywood, is a lot of people are taking advantage of certain situations to get away with things that normal people wouldn't get away with.
Well, I think what we saw over, like, the last 6 months is, like, Hollywood is full of creeps.
Well, I think in general the world is full of creeps.
Yeah, that's true.
They just happen to choose to put themselves in front of the camera.
Who is your, like, favorite cosplayer out there, like, that you think, like, they just crush it? Like, you love looking at their images, they inspire you.
See.
And if it's more than one, you could say more than one.
There's so many people, and then there's so many people that I know personally that I feel do so much positive things inside and outside of costume that it just kind of, like, it's hard to pinpoint it on one person.
Okay, that was a very diplomatic
it
answer.
It's just hard.
What kind of good can you do, like, for the community?
Well, since you asked me to name drop before, we'll give some examples of things that have gone on. There's a cosplayer in Brooklyn, Cosplay Nay. I think we've heard about him recently on the news with Chris Brown. But he, personally, he does every Christmas, he runs a Spider-Man toy drive for underprivileged children. This September, he did a back-to-school backpack drive where he had collections done, and he donated a whole bunch of school bags filled with school supplies to children. And all dressed as characters, they do big events, people come, they say hi to kids all dressed up. You have a lot of people that do birthday parties.
What about, like, hospitals and stuff?
Hospitals are tricky because they go through organizations.
Yeah.
You do have some people that do organizations and stuff, like James from the Legion of Supervillains. He is also part of the 501st. They do charities. They did a warm clothing drive. They do certain things through 501st at hospitals and organizations and stuff because it's an official organization.
There was something that you posted on Facebook that I was like, oh, we should talk about that. What was that?
Yes. There was a incident on Instagram. First of all, I'm going to put it out there. Cosplay is art. Cosplay photography is art. You don't post or share anything that belongs to somebody else without crediting the artist, the photographer. Mm-hmm. If you're wearing a costume that's made by someone, you're going to credit the person who made it.
Yeah.
So, a cosplayer recently posted a photo of himself dressed up as the Miles Morales Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. It was like one for one from the movie poster. It was a complete perfect reenactment.
Yeah.
He posted on Instagram. He credited himself. He credited the photographer. He credited the people who made the suit for him.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. It was recently shared by a big name celebrity, Chris Brown, who felt the need to not only share the picture without crediting any of those three sources, but he cropped out a watermark that was left by the photographer and by the cosplayer so that people would be able to recognize their work when it's shared.
Why did he do that?
We have no idea. He was very, very rude about it, actually. When he was asked to credit the cosplayers and it became an issue, his fans started, you know, personally attacking other cosplayers.
Don't bitch and moan. Chris Brown insists that starving artists and dweebs should thank him for giving... I'm reading a headline. Wow, what a jerk.
Exactly. And he also...
So he wouldn't just be like, my bad, I'm sorry, and like, fix it.
No, he deleted it. He posted a whole bunch of negative things. He personally messaged and was very rude to people who were just trying to get work shown. The hard work and the effort that they put in. Because if you speak to the person who made the picture, he spent hours in that costume sweating to get that shot. The photographer spent hours snapping the pictures, editing the work. The people who make the suits, I believe he goes through the RPC, which is the Replica Prop Studio.
Yeah.
They make really awesome spot-on Spider-Man suits. They're a little bit expensive, but they're extremely detailed. A lot of handmade work goes into them.
Yeah. And Chris Brown was just like...
All these people don't deserve credit.
Wow, that's so not cool. But it's he just seems like an all-around not cool guy.
I don't know.
I want to talk a little bit, because I'm sure you have feelings about this. I want to talk a little bit about, how do I put it? You've seen over the last couple of years things like Gamergate and people like, what's that asshole's name? Max Landis calling Rey from Star Wars a Mary Sue. Mm. And people hating Last Jedi because there's women in it. And like, you're seeing this weird backlash, I guess, or this weird like... As things are progressing in a good way, you're seeing these weird people that are like, no, it should not be this way. Science fiction and fantasy are for men, and women who want to be part of it are somehow posers, or they're ruining it, or, oh my God, it's a girl Ghostbuster, or it's girl, you know what I mean? Like,
I've been told I've ruined things for people before.
Oh, have you ruined any childhoods?
Oh, I've ruined childhoods. I've ruined Star Wars. It's happened. How? Because I like it and I'm a girl and that's bad.
And that somehow ruins it for them.
Exactly. And it's really weird. And I feel like I say this a lot. A lot of people feel because I'm a female that I don't understand things or don't really like what I like. So I feel like every time I speak to someone, they feel the need to test me.
So there's a lot of mansplaining.
A lot of mansplaining. I get quizzed a lot when I meet people. I get asked silly questions. And a lot of them are people who are ignorant. And a lot of them like to call out females for ignorant things. Like, I'll give you an example. There's a character in DC Bombshells. Her name is Duella Dent, the Joker's daughter.
Yeah.
And she pretty much looks like a female version of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
There was a female who cosplayed as her. And somebody pretty much attacked her saying, why are you turning the Joker into a girl? Why does everything have to be about this? And he's not even realizing that she's a canon character.
Right. So the person just made it a political thing, even though they're ignorant to the fact that this is a real character.
Exactly. And there was another talented cosplayer on the internet. I'm not sure of her name. She did an Ironette outfit. If you know what the Ironettes are from the original Iron Man movie, they're showgirls that were with Tony Stark revealed the first Stark suit.
Yeah.
So she made a identical to the movie Ironette costume, and somebody gave her a hard time telling her she was trying to make Tony Stark sexy, not realizing that she was spot on from these showgirls from the film. And that's another stigma also that some people put on cosplayers, because cosplayers will sexualize or do like a specific character in a way that they want to appeal to a fantasy. But the way I personally see it is, if you're going to cosplay something, like, that's separate. You're cosplaying a character. That character is fiction. That actress is a real person.
Yeah.
You have to learn to separate the two. And if a person cannot separate the two, you can't physically attack the girl who's dressed as her.
Right. Well, since you brought this up, I want to know your opinion on cosplayers who take characters that are not inherently sexual and make a sexualized version of it. Like, I am sexy Mario, or I am a, you know, sexy stormtrooper, and I made the stormtrooper costume have, like, an open midriff. Like, basically, you're making it sexualized. Are you for that? Are you against that? Do you, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
It's definitely, 'cause
that gets a lot of criticism.
It's definitely a matter of preference. I don't believe in criticizing it specifically because if you go to the root of what costume is costume play. Costume play has multiple different meanings. It could be, do I want to do a movie-accurate costume shoot? Do I want to do a sexualized boudoir shoot? It's all costume play, and it's all the same category. So if somebody wants to do a sexy stormtrooper and do a Star Wars boudoir shoot, I think that's completely appropriate. I think it's not appropriate to wear your underwear on a con floor as a sexy stormtrooper. I believe that cosplay and conventions are for fun, and then photo shoots are art.
Let's say somebody came up to you, you know, male or female, and said, like, I love what you do. I want to do it too. I think about it, but, like, I'm shy, or, like, I hate the way my legs look, or I hate the way my stomach looks. What would you say to that person?
I would tell them to just do it anyway, because everybody, whether you want to admit it or not, everybody has things about them that they're not happy with.
Yes.
I have things about me that I'm not happy with. So the whole point of cosplay and being able to dress up and to be able to be somebody else is to let all of that go for one day. You're not you anymore. You're letting go of who you are, and you're embracing something different.
Okay.
So we did a shoot a couple of months ago last May. It was called the Body Positive Playboy Bunnies. And if you saw the pictures, we had girls of various sizes, various shapes.
Yeah.
And everybody was in the same skimpy outfit. We were not trying to be
this, like, stick figure.
Exactly. We weren't trying to, how people say you have to dress for your figure, which is like a nice way of telling someone, oh, you're too big to be that character. It's not something that we condone of, because if you're confident and you feel comfortable, you can be any character you want to be.
But that's a little scary, right? Because, you know, those people, the people that the neckbeards will like troll you and be like, oh, your body shape's not right to play this character. Like, that's what I would be afraid of, like somebody like making me cry on Facebook.
It definitely happens, I'm not gonna lie, but it happens to everybody. It happens to me, and I'm a tiny little twig person myself.
Yeah,
everybody is gonna have something that they want to say, that if they like you or if they don't like you. And as many people are going to tell you you look bad, you're also going to inspire so many people.
Yeah.
And so many people are going to be like, seeing you do this is making me feel like I can do it too.
What should I be? I've thought about this, right? I've thought about being a Ghostbuster, just because it's somewhat easy. I already have, like, Proton Pack. But then I thought, like, maybe if I keep working on my upper body, I could maybe pull off, like, a Drax. Okay, but then I'd have to be, like, shirtless, you know what I mean? But, like, he's sort of, like, stocky.
They also do have suits. They have latex suits you can put on that will give you the muscles.
Yeah, that's true. No, I want to really go for it. What's one last thing that you wish people understood about cosplayers that, like, people don't understand?
They're the same as normal people, I guess. Everybody seems to feel like, if they're at a convention and they see someone in costumes, you see a lot of people intimidated to approach them. Or if somebody happens to say cosplaying is their hobby, people automatically have like 100 questions and think it's this big deal.
Right.
It's really, we're all normal people that dress up and have a good time. It's like going to a costume party on a daily basis. And there's no need to put any type of special stigma on it, because it's the same as any other hobby.
Okay. All right. And if people want to look you up, where can I find you online?
Instagram.com, Manda_the_Martian.
Thank you for coming on the podcast.
You're welcome.
And that was the conversation with Amanda the Martian. Did you learn a lot, Emilio?
I like the fact that she is a well-versed, smart woman who does not take anybody's shit.
This is a first guest that was a student of mine.
Yeah. You yelled at her?
I did yell at her. You know what? There's a lot of bluster in my class. There's a lot of BS.
You don't take shit.
I try to destroy somebody on day one just to sort of set a mood. You know what I mean?
Set the tone. If you don't set the table, Daddy, they're gonna run wreck on that table, and it's your table.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. What I took away from this is a strong, independent woman who is not going to concede to the idea of gender or sexuality, and does this because she genuinely enjoys it for what it is, which is an entertainment purpose within pop culture and comic books.
Right, which belongs to all of us. You hear that, yeah. Neckbeards? So our fight against Reddit continues.
Once again, you're champions.
Here we are. We're the people's champions.
We really are. We're going to come and kick you all in the dick, you Reddit neckbeards.
PCMC, the People's Pop Culture Man Children's
Podcast.
Podcast.
For America. All right, so how do you follow Amanda again?
She's on Instagram at Amanda the Martian underscore between every word there.
Okay, so if you know how to use an Instagram, you follow us as well.
Yeah.
If you know how to use a iTunes account, you search us on iTunes, Pop Culture Man Children.
Absolutely.
Give us a little review ski. Put us on to people. Get us even more woke, because this is the People's Podcast and the People Podcast.
We're the fucking woke podcast. Can I do a teaser of what's coming up next?
Sure.
Next week, we're talking about Jack Pearson.
Ooh, are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you
Get
ready?
The tissues. Get the tissues ready.
Maybe
He's fucking
I'll cry.
A dead man.
Maybe I'll cry.
He's a dead man.
All right.
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.